Joining us next is Elvis Gerback. Elvis found success as a quarterback, first at the University of Michigan, then in the NFL with the San Francisco 49ers, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Baltimore Ravens. He is currently finishing his master's degree in theology and travels the country speaking on the importance of fathers as spiritual leaders in their family. Elvis and his wife, Lori, have been married for 30 years and have 3 children. Today, he will share the importance of modeling our love on the love of the Father. Elvis?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Christ is risen. There we go. Good. Okay. First of all, I just want to say thank you to all of you braving the cold. It's a little cold up here, ain't it? but thank you for coming out today, and I know it's gonna continue on for the rest of the day. This is my first time here, and I'm really excited about being a part of this. I want to make sure that I say a thank you to the staff and Father Chris for inviting me to give you just a short reflection on fatherhood and what it really means. I think sometimes as a quarterback, you're put in that position as a leader, no matter what team you're on. My team is at home now, and that's been going on for a long time. I've been married to my wife for 30 years, my high school sweetheart. So she's been with me through the thick and thin. And thank you, I appreciate that. I know she's right back here and she's freezing, but she appreciates it too. What I want to do in my talk this morning is I want to do a little bit of a reflection on a gospel passage that is really true to my heart and kind of give you a kind of perspective on certain parts of the gospel and just reflect on that in fatherhood. And then I want to kind of just share with you something that was very dear to me for my master's program, my theology program in St. Mary's Seminary in Cleveland, Ohio, that I just recently graduated, and I really spoke on this, and I want to share that with you. And then I'm going to close with a closing prayer card that my oldest son actually gave to me. It was part of our family for a long time. We had lost it, and he actually found it, and so I still have that. So I will share you with that at the end. So bear with me just a little bit. I am going to read this. Now, just to kind of preface this, this is a gospel passage you've heard 1,000 times. But what I'd like for you to do is really concentrate on the Father in this story, on some of the aspects and some of the things that he did that as fathers, we can model ourselves just like him in this passage. It's interesting, you know, my wife and I talk about fatherhood a lot. And there is no guiding formula to it. But I will say this book, my Bible, is always with me. It's something that is my driving force, it which teaches me in fatherhood. So let me just read this passage and just bear with me. It is the parable of the lost son in Luke's gospel. Then he said, a man had 2 sons, and the younger son said to his father, Father, give me the share of my estate that should come to me. So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country where he squandered his inheritance to a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, how many of my father's hired workers have more enough to eat? But here I am, dying of hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers. So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion and ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But his father ordered his servants, quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast. Because he said, Because my son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost, but he was found. Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him what this might mean. The servant said to him, your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he was back safe and sound. He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughtered the fattened calf. He said to him, my son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. What a beautiful passage that is. And let me reflect on just a couple of the lines in there that are very dear to me. It's interesting, isn't it, in the opening lines, two sons. We don't know if there's other siblings. And here is a father who is actually is probably wealthy within the context of the story. He freely gives to his son. And he trusts his son that whatever he does with his property, that he will hopefully do the right thing in a worldly sense. But isn't it true our Heavenly Father has an inheritance for us that is greater than anything that we can inherit here on earth? But he gives us free will. He gives us the choice to go out every day and choose for him. The fact that you are here today is an amazing choice. Think about that. Now the father will continue. The son returns. Okay? You parents out there, you grandparents, sons, fathers, you know when you see your children or your grandkids from a distance, you know exactly their movements, you know who they are, you know everything about them. The father ran to his son in compassion and love and kissed him. Does not our Heavenly Father run to us? Do we not realize that he is constantly on the move with us, in us, towards us? Do we make that choice to allow the Father to enter deeply into everything that we do? It's a great choice that we have. We have a God that is not somewhere in the distance. Our God is present now, coming to us. And on top of that, we have a father, just like this story, doesn't know what the son actually did, but listened to his son. As fathers out there, we have children. There are times when it is difficult to listen to our sons or daughters, but we have to do that. And after listening, what does he do? He gives more and more to his son. He clothes him and puts a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. The abundance that the father has is constantly with us. He gives more even in our failures. Then, in closing, in this scripture passage, we have the oldest son who is disappointed in his father. that he would act this way. And in a sense, he can't understand a father that would do this. Give freely and give freely even when it's when we fail. Now, like I said, my master's program, I actually did something on this very similar to this. There is a small book out there. I encourage you to read it from James Allison, Knowing Jesus. And within his book, he coins the phrase, the intelligence of the victim. A lot of the gospel passages that you read from the disciples and St. Paul, you can see this played out. Here is a God, especially in the passions, it's very forward in this way of thinking. Here is a God that gives without any cost, and then is not moved by violence or hatred or failure. His son returns in this passage, and he failed, but the father listened to him and still gave. And then finally, this thought process will end in persecution. Our Lord has said, it is a narrow way. It is the narrow gate that you must enter. So know this intelligence of the victim. We play this out. Christ has modeled that for us and has given us the opportunity to do that. Now, as a father, how does this play out? Let me just tell you, I've been very blessed to have three children. A number of years ago, I started something what we call in our house is dad talk. And I had an opportunity to sit down with my kids one-on-one and have them come into my office and speak freely and to be able to listen to them and meet them where they were. And we continue to do that. As you know, as parents, sometimes the answers that we get from our children are not the answers that we always want. And so we have to be able to continue to guide them and lead them as Christ will teach us to lead. In closing, I do have a small prayer that I'd like to share with you. And I have this prayer card here, and I'm sure you probably can find it anywhere. It'd be interesting to see if maybe one of the shops has it here or not. So I had this at my house, and my kids grew up. They all live in Chicago now. God bless them. And we had this on our refrigerator, and our kids would always read this on a consistent basis. And then when we moved, we had lost it in the move. But my son, my oldest son, found it and gave this to me as a gift. And so I want to read it to you. It's called The Parents' Creed. Some of you might have heard this. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives in hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. In closing, I would just like to say thank you again for inviting me to be a part of this. I will be around pretty much the entire day. Please come up to me and talk to me. My wife is here also. I'm always open up to conversations. Thank you so much. God bless you and have a wonderful day. Thank you.